Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Old Testament reading of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." In the name of Jesus. Moses and the Israelites find themselves at the gates of the Promised Land. It was a land long promised years ago, beginning with Abraham, passed down through his sons and his grandsons. Generations later, fleeing their Egyptian enslavers, leaving them in the wake of a raging sea that washed them all away in the wrath of a mighty God, the Israelites find themselves at the foot of another mountain. It's Mount Horeb. You might better know it as Mount Sinai. And it's there that God comes down in tempest and smoke and lightning and thunder. God renews his covenant there with them. They are his people. He is their God. It's always been such. And the law is given, the Ten Commandments hewn from stone. But the people, they're scared, and rightly so. It's not easy for the sinner to stand before the Almighty. Quite impossible as a matter of fact, so they beg for a mediator. They beg for someone to stand in between them and their perfect God. Moses, he's that mediator, and he fulfills that vocation for the next 40 years until the day that our text comes about. But this day that our text comes about, it's a lot further off than God had originally intended. You know the story, of course, because immediately after Mount Sinai, God leads his people north to enter the Promised Land, but they're scared again and they doubt. But wasn't it just weeks before that he had saved them from a much mightier foe in the form of the Egyptians? Hadn't he drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea? Of course he had. But the sinner often forgets the deeds of his Savior as soon as the newest danger rears its ugly face. And maybe you know what the Israelites were feeling. I sure do. No sooner has God done the impossible for me than I doubt his very existence when the fallen world throws its next rock at my head. And so the Lord delays their entrance into the Promised Land. 40 years of wandering. 40 years of learning how to trust in him. 40 years of him providing for all of their needs, clothing their backs and shodding their feet, sending heavenly bread down from the skies. And it all culminates in our text for today, Deuteronomy 18. And we've heard those words this morning twice. What we haven't heard were the words immediately preceding them. That's where Moses gives the Israelites a warning. The land that they're about to enter is possessed by another people, and this people, they know nothing of their God. These are people who sacrifice to the demons, to gods of their own makings, to deities that require such atrocities as burning their children as an offering. These are people who practice divination, who seek to talk with the dead, who attempt to find life-giving words from voices that only speak of ugliness and death. The Israelites are not to learn from these people. They shall not learn to follow in the ways of sin and death, in the ways that are in complete contrast with the things of God. And it's at this point where one can't help but realize that the more things change, the more things stay the same. Because it doesn't take a genius to take a quick look at the world around us and realize that the place we inhabit is not that different from the place that the Israelites are about to go into. Now, of course, perhaps our society doesn't still think it a good thing to burn babies at an altar, but it has no problem ripping them from their mother's wombs in a medical clinic or pumping them full of hormones in a doctor's office. And perhaps you won't bump into a sorcerer or a necromancer on your way down to the market. But it's hard not to hear the voices of those who encourage you to place your hope and trust in anything other than your Creator and your Savior. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn this sermon into a sermon against all of the abominable practices that we can find out there. For Moses, he wasn't preaching to the sorcerers or to the cultic priests. He was preaching to the Israelites. And so neither am I called to stand here and rail against all of those out there who will never hear my voice. But instead, I speak a word of caution, a word of law to you. Do not learn to follow in the abominable practices that you find outside your door. Your Lord would not have those things for you. Those things of ugliness and sin and death and destruction. Your Lord would have something better for you. He would have you have life. Life and forgiveness and comfort and peace, even and amongst the things of this world that may seem so very enticing, yet do nothing but bring you heartache and sorrow. And so, it's on the heels of this warning that Moses speaks a gospel word of comfort and peace. Now, he will not be able to enter into the promised land. That's a punishment for his own presumptuous wrongdoings of the past. But even that is for the ultimate good of his people. Because Moses wasn't the end. Yes, he was a prophet sent by God to lead his people out of slavery. He was a savior, but he wasn't the savior. And so Moses, not being able to lead the Israelites into the promised land, is God's way of teaching the Israelites that there is someone greater coming, someone better, someone long ago promised. And the Lord God will raise up from among their brothers a prophet, just like Moses. Now, immediately, that prophet was Joshua. And you can read all about the ways in which God worked through him, securing the promised land in that book that bears the same name. He leads this man up because the people still need a mediator. Nothing's changed. They still need someone to stand before them and their Almighty God. They still need someone to make sure that all of those sacrifices still take place. The morning ones and the evening ones. The feast and festival ones. The cleansing ones and the forgiving ones and the atoning ones. The grain and wine ones. The bulls and goats ones. The calf and lamb ones. All of those still need to take place so that the people can stand before God, cleansed, holy, and forgiven. And so Moses assures the people that their God will not leave them wanting. He will send them a prophet. But even Joshua wasn't the prophet that God was speaking about. I mean, he was in some sort of way, but only to point to someone greater, to someone who, yes, would bear the same name that means Yahweh saves. And we get to hear about that prophet in our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, the final fulfillment of the words that Moses spoke concerning the one raised up from among the brothers. And the Apostle Peter, he even testifies to him too in the book of Acts when he's arrested for preaching about the resurrected Christ and the hope that we have in him. Peter, he'll even quote Moses from our Deuteronomy text for this morning, declaring for all the world to hear that this Jesus is the mediator, always promised to stand between God and us. And so in our gospel reading, Jesus walks into a synagogue in Capernaum and begins to preach and teach. And our reading doesn't even say that he was invited to do so, although maybe he was, but he preaches as one that they have never heard preach before. He preaches with authority. And not authority like he commands the stage and captures the audience with his gravitas and his grandeur, but that might be true. But he preaches with authority, meaning that he preaches in a way that the people had never witnessed before, saying words that the people have never heard before. For he is a mediator. He stands in between. And in so doing, he stands as the one who shields the sinner from the mighty judgment and wrath that should befall him. When the sinner is met with his sin, he expects a word of the law to be the only thing that he hears. He believes the only thing that can wipe away the evil thing done is a good thing done. And so he waits with bated breath for a path out of the pit that he's dug for himself. He waits to hear a word that will give him the acts that he must do and the things that he must say in order to right the wrongs that he has done. But that's not the way of our Lord. That doesn't work when the benchmark is, be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. That phrase is law enough. More law won't fix that situation. It will only drive the sinner to despair. And so, when Jesus strives into Capernaum and begins preaching the preaching that he will continue to preach until all of eternity, he preaches with the authority of the gospel. He preaches forgiveness to the sinner and life to the dead man. He preaches comfort to the troubled hearted and burdens lifted to the one who is weighed down with the worries and struggles of this world, of this life, of this sin that we sinners cover ourselves with. And in that synagogue, Jesus, he even preaches a word that sends the demons running. He silences their accusatory words, the ones that say, there's no gospel for you. You're too much of a sinner. These words he shuts up to never be heard again. For this is not the word that your father would have you hear. Neither is it the word that he would have his son speak to him on your behalf. The word that the Father desires to be spoken, the words that he places into his son's mouth as Moses promised, the only word that the Father desires for the sinner, the terrified sinner to hear, is that he is forgiven in Christ. That's it. Nothing more. And this is what Jesus preaches. And he does so with authority. And so Jesus is a prophet, just like Moses, only greater. Does he preach the law? Of course he does. But he does so only to those confident in their sin. And even this is a grace that the sinner is not worthy of. For Jesus stands before the perfect God and you, showing you your sin so that you will no longer be confident in yourself. But then he preaches with the authority of the gospel. He stands before you and he speaks to you, your sins forgiven. And he speaks before the Father with your name upon his lips and the word of the cross soon to follow. To his Father, the mediator says, this one is mine. This one is forgiven. I died for him. I died for her. The law no longer condemns him. Her punishment you already laid upon me. For my sake and not theirs, look with favor upon them. My cross has justified them. My empty tomb has sanctified them. In me they are no longer sinners but saints. And you, dear Father, promised to bring them into the promised land. And you sent me to usher them in. And that's what I intend to do according to your eternal promise. So, fellow terrified sinners, be terrified no more. The prophet long foretold has come, and he's just like Moses, but greater. For not only is he your mediator, he is also the sacrifice that made that mediation possible. No longer fear that you will be condemned because of your sins. Christ has forgiven them. No longer fear that the demons... For no longer fear what the demons whisper, those accusations against you. Christ has shut all of their mouths before the Father. No longer fear that death will trap you inside of the tomb. Christ has rolled away the stone and gives you life. Be terrified no more. Be only amazed. Christ speaks with the authority of the gospel to forgive you and raise you from the dead. In the name of Jesus.